Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Virginia Phillips. She is author of Yes, You Can, Your Roadmap to Dream, Create, and Profit. It doesn't matter whether you're a multimillionaire or just getting started on your journey. No matter who you are or where you are in life, reaching your true dreams can be a challenge, and the quest can leave you feeling unsatisfied or unfulfilled with your life and accomplishments. Every day is a gift, but all too often we are too busy with a daily routine to achieve worthwhile things that will be remembered for years. Yes, You Can is full of powerful insights and easy-to-apply techniques that will unleash your secret internal power and ignite and fuel your dreams to come to life. Virginia is an award-winning coach who inspires and guides individuals to develop better personal leadership skills, narrow their confidence gap, and generate their business plans and create opportunities for success. For more information, you can visit her website, which is aoeenow.com, and that stands for Academy of Entrepreneurial Excellence. So it's aoeenow.com, and I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Virginia to the show. Good day, Virginia.
Good day to you, Robert, and good day to your listeners.
Thank you very much. Well, I am looking forward to giving the listeners a little bit more of a roadmap, some direction on that road that we're following. So, I usually like to start by having the guests give a little bit of a background. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners just a little bit about your journey and how it is you've come to focus on entrepreneurial success.
Sure. I don't believe I took the normal journey to entrepreneurial success. There are many people that don't want to work for corporate America or corporations around the world and want to go work for themselves. It was never something I found myself doing. I graduated from college and went on this career path, loved my job, thought I would be in corporate America for life, just loved it. And then 5.5 years or so ago, I was involved in a car accident that looked like a T-bone car accident, but they classified it as a head-on collision. And the car that impacted our vehicle impacted right where I sat, and I took the brunt of this car accident. It changed my trajectory with my career and with my life, and I found myself trying to figure out who I was without all of the pre-planning that I've done for years and years and years. And I really had to dig deep. And what I realized is I gathered some skills working for corporate America that are transferable to small business and entrepreneurs, especially starting. That's where I landed my feet, and that's where I had forth with my life, and I love it.
Wow. You know, that whenever something traumatic or dramatic like that happens, you know, it really does seem to shake people up, literally, if not figuratively, into looking, you know, at what they're doing for their life. And so many people make, you know, life changes based on, you know, that kind of event.
I absolutely agree with that. And most people that I know, when they do make the change, you tend to end up in a happier place. Now, that is not true for everybody, but there is a significant number of people that make a shift and wind in a place they never expected to be and don't look back. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing that tends to happen is quite often there's a shifting view of what success is, what fulfillment is, and those seem to often, you know, take a higher priority when something like that happens. I guess when you're kind of faced with, you know, the end of things, you really do sit back and look at your priorities.
You're 100% correct with that. There is a terminology called post-traumatic growth. Most people have heard of post-traumatic stress disorder. There's like three stages in trauma. There's the trauma itself. There's the post-traumatic stress disorder where people are still trying to handle and deal with the trauma. And then there's this third phase that's never really talked about, which is post-traumatic growth. And it gives you a perspective on your life that you didn't have before and allows you to go after your own life in a way you couldn't before. That have not faced that kind of trauma, just they can't grasp that post-traumatic growth. And I am certainly one of these people that have found myself in this third stage of post-traumatic growth, and it's truly changed my life.
Yeah, I bet. And I like that phrase. I've never heard of it, but it I've talked to many people, many people over the years who have experienced it. And I'll be quoting you in the future, no doubt. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess let's start with AOEE, the Academy of Entrepreneurial Excellence. Tell us what it is and what it is and what you offer people through that particular organization.
So that is my own company. I have partnered with some really incredible people in the United States. I have clients around the world. And I work specifically with service-based entrepreneurs that are in the true startup phase of their company. When you are in the startup phase of any company, whether it's building a podcast or running your own gymnasium, there are things that feel overwhelming, that learning curve is stiff, and you need somebody to help guide you along with that. And that's where I come in. For a long time in corporate America, I worked with mergers and acquisitions and built teams. And teams succeed with a strong leader. Businesses succeed with a strong leader. I don't care how great your roadmap is all planned out, if you can't put that roadmap seed. So I work with these service-based entrepreneurs to get things like strategic plans and business plans in place, and then really truly have an action plan to go tackle them. I do it through an online network that is more of a mass-level coaching. I do it with group coaching, and then I also do it with private coaching. And if that's not enough for you, you can also find me on stage and doing some workshops occasionally.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. What would you say are some of the challenges that entrepreneurs face? Let's say, you know, like particularly like you, going from a corporate environment to an entrepreneurial role, what are some of the challenges that someone who is in that kind of transition, what are some of the challenges that they experience?
One of them, they truly experience, is the unknown. They don't know what they don't know. They don't know how to build things like sales funnels. They don't know where to get their clients. They don't know how to identify their ideal client. That all has to be ironed out as you may. So that's stage one. Stage two, that I talk to many of my clients about, is where is your place within the industry? Many folks can identify their skills and their talents. They don't know how they fit in with everybody else. And if they don't know that piece, they won't be successful. They also don't tend to know how to package their talents. They don't know if it should be $10 an hour or $3,000 an hour. And it feels like a guessing game for them. And the third thing that I would say is they really don't have any idea how to create a roadmap for their business. They come in knowing that they've got the skills and the ability to do it. They don't really have the roadmap to get it done most of the time.
Yeah. Wow, those are all, you know, I'm sure there are entrepreneurs out there right now or people who are considering and taking that particular role are probably thinking, boy, there is a lot I don't know, what I don't know. So when you, when a client comes to you initially, will they have usually been in business and you assist by putting maybe that roadmap together for them, or is it often a case where they have yet to make that leap and are being doing the preparation work?
So most of the people that come to me, I would love for them to be in the stage where they're thinking about opening their business. And we can sit down and plan to be sure they have enough money and enough time and enough resources to launch the way they want to launch. But that isn't the case in our society today. People get these ideas, they want to be in business, and they almost like the next day go out and open their business. I usually get those folks that are a couple of months into their business and realize how deep they are or how lost they are in the process. Then they come to me and say, okay, I am here and I realize I need some help to get to where I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think that would probably tend to be most businesses that would do that. Now, when you have a case like that, do you can you talk a little bit about, you know, the difference between a strategic plan, strategic planning, and maybe implementation? Give us a little bit of an idea of the phases, you know, people will go through in the planning stages.
So ideally, and this rarely happens with my clients, there's no ideally that comes through my door, but ideally a business would come to me or a person would come to me saying they want to open a business, and we would sit down and line out, what is the mission to your business? What is the vision to your business? What is the reason you exist? What's the point for people to interact with you? How do you sit within the industry? All of those particular foundational questions that anybody from the outside would look and say, okay, I know what it is they do. I know what it is they sell. And I know who to refer to them and if I am their customer. That to me is core business planning. But at some point, you've got to take that and take those ideas and put them into motion. And that's when you begin to strategically plan. You want to know what you're doing next week. You want to know what systems you want to implement 3 months from now. You want to know if you want to open a new store 6 months from now. It's easier to say, I plan to open a store 6 months from now. What do I need to do to get there? That is all strategic planning, that roadmap to get you from point A to point B to point C is strategic planning. Now, it gets confusing for folks because they think strategic planning is the same as an action plan, and it's not. The action plan will give you the items you need to do. The strategic plan gives you more of the landmarks you're planning to go to. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, within the between the strategic plan and the action plan, are goals established? At what stage are goals established during the strategic planning aspect, and then actions created to support to achieve those goals, or are the goals included in the action aspect?
You know, the way I conduct it is the goals are a part of your strategic plan, and the action plan helps you get to those goals.
Okay. So now, when it comes to establishing goals, quite often things don't go as planned. You can go ahead. The best laid plans sometimes can go astray. So, what is your feeling or your belief when it comes to creating goals and creating goals that are able to be adjusted when necessary?
I think both of those are important. Your goals need to stretch you, but the goals don't need to be impossible. One of the things I did the end of 2017 was help folks create some vision boards. And there was one gentleman who put on his vision board, I think he had planned to visit like 42 places in the world in 2018. To me, that is not a realistic expectation for him based upon what I know, where he is financially and where he is health-wise, et cetera, et cetera. So your strategic plan and your goals need to stretch you and create that sense of urgency to push you forward, but they don't need to be unrealistic. There's that fine area. And if they're going to stretch you, means you're not always going to hit the mark. And that is okay in business. You don't always have to hit the mark exactly. You have to go that general direction and stretch yourself to get there. And ideally do it in the most efficient way possible. But any startup entrepreneur I know doesn't always do things efficiently because it's their first time doing things. It takes them longer than they expected. But they shouldn't be disappointed if their goal is a little to the left or a little to the right or a little further out. The only time I get disappointed in those that coach me is if they give up and turn around without a good reason. Sometimes there are good reasons to give up on a goal. But most of the time when people give up on a goal, it's because they don't have confidence in themselves as a leader. And I don't like those excuses.
Yeah. That, you know, it's the one thing that I have found is that, when it comes to goals, they seem to be kind of a direction setter. Rather than, necessarily a distinct end, to a particular type of activity.
I would absolutely agree with that. But they need to be specific enough that it's not just this general direction. You need to know where it is and kind of set it out there. And if it moves a little bit to the left or right, it's okay. It's still, as you say, kind of a general area, but it doesn't need to be vague.
Yeah, exactly. So now, when it comes time, entrepreneurs usually will be starting their business with themselves, maybe a partner or two. When it comes time to building a team, a supportive team. Can you talk a little bit about both the building an internal, internal to an organization, or building the team building a team, that's external to the organization? Does that make sense?
It absolutely does make sense to me,
okay.
And I hope by the time I finish answering your question, it will certainly make sense to your listeners. So there are two ways you can build a team. You can either outsource and hire somebody like a contractor or a freelancer, or you can hire employees to come in-house. And there are benefits to both. But before we get to talking about whether you're hiring or outsourcing, the first hurdle for new startup entrepreneurs is being willing to let go of their baby and give some control and some tasks to somebody else. That seems to be a very hard hurdle, first hurdle for entrepreneurs to get over. They're so passionate about what they're doing that their passion gets in the way of their success. And it seems to be a hurdle to just get to, let's hire somebody to come in and assist you. And some of that hurdle is finances. Because they haven't planned enough at the beginning, they're bootstrapping. Their finances are tight. And they're like, if I give that person $15 an hour, that's 15 less dollars I have to operate my, you know, software that's going to generate leads. And it gets to be a hard decision for them. But if they can see the light that bringing in expertise allows them to open the door for other opportunities, then we can make progress. So let's say they are at that point where they do see bringing in other expertise will help them. There are some things I think are best outsourced, especially as a single entrepreneur. At least in America, there are different ways you're taxed and different records you need to keep. There's a whole lot less records when you hire somebody as a freelancer than when you hire somebody as an employee. As an employee, you have to onboard them, you have to get their tax forms, you have to typically develop some sort of handbook, you have to get workers' comp insurance. All of those sorts of things need to be in place to hire somebody legally. So my first recommendation is let's look to see if we can outsource this and get somebody else to do some of these tasks for you. If the answer is we can, but I'm going to lose control over this, that, or the other thing, and that control could specifically injure their business, then we will turn around and look at, let's see what we can do to hire somebody and bring that person in and do all of that work to hire their own team. I don't know if that's fully answered your question.
That makes sense. No, that makes perfect sense, yes. And you know, the outsourcing was the term I was trying to grapple with, but yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, as far as, you know, if it's possible to outsource without harming the business, or you know, the control is still able to maintain control over the product or service, and then that's certainly an easier way to go. And in today's environment, I mean, with, you know, global connections, quite often it's finding those sources to which you can outsource, you know, is much easier.
I would agree. I have tried to hire some folks on my own, both in corporate America and in my own business. And it's mistakes that I see people make. My friend is looking for a job, and I want to hire them. They don't bring in the right expertise, and they don't know how to be a freelancer. And you get, like, the friendship relationship that can get in the way of the work relationship. So my recommendation is always go to those places where there are experts in the field, and those experts are advertising there, or go to a mentor and say, who do you use? You don't necessarily have to go to one of those large freelancer services. There are successful businesses within your neighborhood that have already hired freelancers. or a freelancing team that still has expertise that you can tap into. And those types of referrals are a great way to begin to hire somebody outside your firm, but it doesn't stop there. Like, you have to ask the right questions. You have to set the right expectations. You have to have the right conversations with them in terms of your working style and what your business mission and vision is, so they can align their expertise with what you want to create visibility and create branding and create your message out to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, we're about halfway through the show, Virginia, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask Virginia any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to post them there. And then when we come back, since you just mentioned the word branding, Virginia, I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because I'm not sure many entrepreneurs really understand what it is, how to do it, and just why it's important, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my very special guest is Virginia Phillips, and we're talking about her book and her work. The book is Yes, You Can, Your Roadmap to Dream, Create, and Profit. And her business is the Academy of Entrepreneurial Excellence. And you can find out more by visiting their website, which is aoeenow.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Virginia.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. So, branding. Can you explain what it is, why it's important for the entrepreneur, and how do we go about branding our business?
Certainly. I will first tell you, although I was a marketing major in college, I know I am not a marketing expert. One of the first things I recommend my clients to do is go hire a marketing expert. Here's one, some of the things that they will do for you and why it is so important for the business. You want folks to be able to identify you uniquely. And I hope some of your listeners understand this. I think it's a popular enough show around the United States and around the world. There is a show called American Idol, and it's taken off in other places. And sometimes the judges say to that singer, you have a unique voice, and that voice is what's going to propel you forward. The businesses I work with must have their unique voice. Otherwise, they get lost in the crowd. And if they show up one day looking one way, and they show up another day looking another way, and they show up a third day looking yet a third way, people are not going to remember them as unique. They will get lost in the crowd. So branding themselves with specific colors and specific font types, specific messages, specific attitudes, and messages, that story that comes out of their business, which is a main reason to give them that uniqueness, is vitally important for them to stand in what I say, a class of their own. You want to look at, let's say you are a physical trainer, and there are thousands of physical trainers in my city. You don't want to be known as a physical trainer. You want to be known as a physical trainer in your own class, somebody that maybe deals just with cancer patients, or maybe somebody that's won a gold medal that can transfer those skills to you. You differentiate yourself from the rest of the field, and that's what gives you business. And that is also one of the hardest things for entrepreneurs to get and to get right.
Yeah, and you know, outsourcing the marketing aspect to an expert certainly is an important aspect, particularly because most entrepreneurs won't, I mean, unless that's been their business prior to the, you know, going solo, you know, won't have that experience, and it's really important. And, you know, the idea of finding your own unique voice or your unique selling point, you know, is critical. And now, one of the things that it seems, you know, from what you're saying too, is that being consistent is critical. It's very important. I mean, it seems like, you know, when you talked about shifting, you know, here or there, that then people really wouldn't know who you are, what you stand for. So it seems to me that consistency is a key there as well.
It absolutely is key. What happens with new startup entrepreneurs is they get out of the gate too quickly. For example, many of them try to do a blog every single week and then realize how much effort it takes to do a blog, or something else pops up in a business and they drop it for several weeks or several months and then come back like gangbusters again to push it out. They would be much better to write a blog once every 8 weeks and build into that, because people then know the last day of the second month they're going to show up. And they will begin to show up in their court because they know they will be there. They won't show up to a business that may or may not be open. For example, I went to a business, a brick and mortar business yesterday, and I knew they closed at 5 o'clock. And I showed up at 4:45, knowing that they were going to be there till 5 o'clock. But I can't do that if I don't know what days they're going to be open and what days they won't. I will typically say to myself, it's too risky, I'll stay home, and I won't engage. That consistency is so, so important, way more important than getting the message exactly right and being perfect with your product. There is this thing that I teach, that's be good enough and show up when you're supposed to show up, and that will get you business.
Yeah. Now, is that one of those famous Philip-isms that I read about?
Maybe. I don't always know when I say my Philip-isms, but people say there are things that I say that stick with them, and that could be one of them. Good enough are words that I use. Other terms that I use that are phrased as Philippisms is, I ask my entrepreneurs and my clients, is what you're doing useful to get you to where you're going?
Yeah.
Is what you're doing useful? And it's those phrases like that that they have labeled Philippisms, because they're not hearing it from other folks and it sticks with them. The one that I'm most famous for is, stop hitting the snooze button. Stop.
Okay, I like that. I mean, you know, because that People do that in life a lot, I think.
They do. And I don't think they realize the long-term effects it has on you. You set your alarm the night before you go to bed, and you say, I'm getting up at this time. And that alarm goes off, and you hit the snooze button. As soon as you do, you have either watered down your commitment to yourself or broken it. Neither one of those are good ways to start the day. And it's not a good way to approach your business. And it's not a good way to run a successful business. So that becomes one of my Phillipsisms. And I say it to my clients a lot. Are you hitting the snooze button?
Yep, I'm going to remember that one. That's okay. So now, you know, we talked a little bit about branding. Now, in the same vein as that, you know, in the marketing realm, there are two areas that I'd like to kind of get your opinion, your feelings on. And one of them is networking, and the other is social media interaction and support, that kind of thing. So maybe we could start with networking. Let's talk about the value of networking for entrepreneurs.
Well, there are many, many, many different ways to network. I know from Harvard studies, from speaking with very successful business people and those not successful, your network is your gold mine. If you have a strong network, you will be strong. If you don't have a strong network, you will have holes in your ability to be strong. And how that comes into play, at least in my business, there are times that I run up against obstacles that I really wasn't expecting to be there, and they just show up. You're like, I have no idea how to deal with this. I don't try to navigate that obstacle on my own. I pick up the phone and call somebody in my network. And say, you know, can you just answer this one question for me and point me in the right direction? And a lot of times they will not only point you in the right connection, but they will help make that connection for you. So you're not making a cold call to get over your hurdle. There's nothing more important, I think, than building a strong network. Now, there are many, many, many ways to do it. One way to do it is to go to local networking events and just connect with people. The mistake folks make when they go to the in-person networking groups is they try to sell. It is not the place to sell. It is not even really the place to promote your business. It is the place, I say, this might be another Phillipisms, to go digging for treasure. And that treasure is, who can I bring into my network to make my business stronger? Because that network brings a whole slew of people that could be your clients, and the best way to build a business is word of mouth. So I don't care whether you are in person or online trying to network, but you should be digging for treasure and not promoting for sales. The second thing you asked me about was social media. Now, I am one that have made some incredible connections on social media. But many, many entrepreneurs, again, are utilizing these platforms that were built for connection to try to sell their business. If you ask folks why they're on Facebook, they will tell you to connect. You ask them why they're on LinkedIn, they will tell you to connect. You ask them why they're on Twitter, they will tell you either to connect or to do research, but in none of those conversations are they saying, I am going out to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first mistake that entrepreneurs do, is they go out to spend their time to get the likes, to get the fans, to get the sales. Again, sales are made through word of mouth. Build the relationships and have your friends sell for you. That's how you do it on social media. But if you have the right marketing experts in your boat, you can leverage those platforms to do advertising, true advertising, through those platforms and utilize them as a pin in your sales funnel. But there are too many people out on social media spending way too much time not being effective digging for the treasure and looking for sales when they should be looking for partnerships and people that would be great word of mouth folks for them.
Yeah, that relationship aspect and having others do the promoting for you carries so much more weight. I know when I see someone, you know, commenting positively about a product or service, to me that carries so much more weight than the individual themselves saying, you know, saying the same thing or even pitching their product or service.
Right. And there are things like doing reviews and doing things to lift other people. They will remember that much longer than positively than they will remember you friending them and then immediately pitching them.
Yeah, I agree. Now, there's a couple chapters in your book, Yes You Can, that I just wanted to touch on, so the listeners can get an idea of what's in your book. And one of those topics you had is self-worth is a gold mine, and we really haven't talked much about that, about the idea of self-worth. So, can you maybe just give us an insight into, you know, the gold, you know, that is, because quite often, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, self-worth, especially if the business isn't going quite right, can take a hit.
It can. I don't think there's anything quite like the emotional swings of entrepreneurship. Even myself, I'm like, I will call my people in my network and say, oh, today has been a hard day. Am I even in the right place today? It is tough on you. But, I sit here in our family office upstairs in our house, and I'm looking at all of these awards my spouse and I won many years ago. And people place a lot of their self-worth in who's recognized me, how many likes do I have, how much money do I have in my pocket, how expensive is my car? How big is my house? How many vacations have I gone on? And at the end of the day, that's not what makes you happy. They have studied in the Harvard study that self-worth comes from impacting others and making connections. And if that's not your focus during the day, you are going to have a hard time feeling like you're of value to somebody else. That chapter in that book really came from a very, very personal experience that I'm now just beginning to open up and talk about, where I was really, really sick a number of years ago, and they didn't think I was going to make it through the night. And that next morning, they had wheeled me out into the community room, and I'm still really not functional. I was able, in that state, to make life-changing impact for some other sick patient. In that moment, I have carried with me that it doesn't matter anything else that I have in any given moment. You have the ability to share that internal knowledge, that internal love, that internal caring about somebody else. And it's those moments that develop your self-worth. We miss them.
Yeah, you know, that's really important, you know, because, you know, where you're talking about the focus being external to self, being able to help others, making a difference, you know, in someone's life, versus the I am, you know, blank, 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 or, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. So to me, I've often felt, too, that, you know, that ability to help or to inspire someone or to lift someone up, you know, when they're not able, to me, that is, that's the kind of action that kind of lives on. You know, in the people to whom you lift, it becomes a quite possibly, quite often, a memory that they will carry on with them that will help shape their life. And to me, so to me, that kind of action, in a way, makes you immortal. It goes on beyond you. That, you know, other people can, you know, can make a difference and recall what it is that you did for them.
I absolutely agree with that statement. But so often when we are in conversations with other people, we're asking them about the accomplishments they've done, the title that they wear, the number of kids that they have, and what the kids are up to. It's rarely about how successful are you in your relationships and what can I do to be more successful in a relationship with you. That's where the gold mine comes in, back to those connections.
Yeah. And you know, we've been talking a lot during today's show about relationships. And really that is forming and maintaining positive, healthy relationships is really key to so many areas of success in life.
Absolutely. And the Harvard study says it's also imperative to your general health.
Yeah. There you go. Now, the other topic in your book that I just kind of wanted to touch on, there are quite a few in there that people can go online and purchase the book, but the other one was micro-success. Is that the idea of that, those small incremental successes that we may experience?
Absolutely. You know, road, at least in entrepreneur world, to get to what you are defining as success is a long road. I talked with a woman yesterday. She said this last year there were days I was barely awake and I knew I needed to get that piece done. And she and I have been, you know, friends for a long time. And I said to her, when you get through those moments,
One second, Virginia. We had a little bit of the audio going in and out there. Hold on, let me just see if I can refresh my studio to maybe because you were kind of going in and out. So I just wanted to make sure that people got that. Okay, let's try it again. Can you tell us about that one experience? There we go. I think I got you back.
Good. Thank you for telling me that. I have a friend who is an entrepreneur. And for the last year, it's been hard. She's been really pushing some very big goals, but that means there's a lot of work that takes place behind the scenes that nobody else sees. And there are days that you are exhausted and don't want to do it, but you are committed to that long-term vision, and you get in and you push through that. Those times are what I call micro-successes, because there are many people on this planet that would say it's too tough.
Exactly. Well, we're down toward the end of the show, Virginia. Is there any particular, you know, words of advice for entrepreneurs out there listening? Anything that you may want to say to them that may kind of lift their spirits or maybe assist them in looking at what that roadmap might look like?
There is so much I can tell them, but what mind at this point is those relationships. Don't on the hard days, you know, cover your missteps and your faults. Go out to those that have already done those missteps and say, help me get through this faster or easier. Don't do the road alone. It's much easier when you can rely on others, and people want to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I really want to thank you for your time today, Virginia. I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and I appreciate you sharing your insight with our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for all of your listeners listening in and giving me this platform with them.
Okay, great. Great. So everyone, again, today my very special guest has been Virginia Phillips, and we've been speaking about her book, Yes, You Can, Your Roadmap to Dream, Create, and Profit. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is aoeenow.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.